Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
Wherever the king is, the kingdom is present. So if Jesus is present in your heart and he is actually ruling, and you can tell from your lifestyle that your way of life, your language, your everything looks just like him, then the kingdom has arrived in you.
This week in the Knowing Jesus series, Pastor Neil takes us into the powerful truth that Jesus is King. He is King by birth, by right, and by eternal authority. He rules and reigns. But what does that mean for us? Pastor Neil says we, as believers, are called to reflect his glory and submit to his word. If he is King, he deserves our submission. If Jesus is King, he deserves our worship. If Jesus is King, then he rules our lives, and we belong fully to his kingdom. And because we belong to him, we never have to worry about our needs. The king cares for his people. Here is Pastor Neil with today's message, Jesus the King.
So I want to speak to you today on the subject, Jesus the King. We want to look at what it means. We want to look at its implications for every single one of us. When we say Jesus is King, what does it mean? Please understand something very important. I'm going to unload a lot of information on you this morning, but I want you to go back and listen again and again until you understand this truth. Amen? We live in a democracy, so anytime you read scriptures like this, chances are you want to superimpose democracy into the topic. Never ever do that. No wonder there are many Christians who live a democratic kind of Christianity, but the Christianity we are in is called theocracy, not democracy. Theocracy meaning God rules. Did you just hear what I just said? All right, so our topic is Jesus the King. Say that with me. All right, let's pick it up from John chapter 12. I'll read from the New International Version. He says, the next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Verse 13, John chapter 12. They took palm branches. So that's where we get the whole concept of Palm Sunday from, right? They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Verse 14, Jesus found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written. And verse 15, the scripture says, and do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See your king. I need you to underline that. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is what? The King of Israel. And now he says, your king is coming, seated on the donkey's colt. So I want you to see that John the Apostle identifies Jesus in the resurrection story as a king. Jesus is King. Somebody say, Jesus is King. All right. So we want to begin with a question. And today I will deviate a little bit from observation and all those things. I'll put all of them together at the same time and weave it. Are you with me? So if you are waiting for me to observe, then we go to interpretation, then we go to correlation, then we go to application. I'm going to put it all together at the same time. All right? So let's begin with a question. And the question is Jesus King? Is he? Now, you're all saying yes. But is he? Jesus himself said it in the book of John chapter 18. He's having a conversation with one of the people I call the most unserious human beings in the world. And it's Pontius Pilate. Because Pontius Pilate was the one who asked Jesus the most important question in life. He asked Jesus, what is truth? And then he walks away, washes his hands, and moves away from the truth himself. That's why I call him the most unserious person. Because he asked Jesus, what is truth? And the guy walks away. In John chapter 18, look at verse 33. Let's read a few verses. So Pontius Pilate is having a conversation with Jesus. Jesus has been arrested, and they are trying to crucify him. And listen to the conversation. Starting from verse 33, John chapter 18. Are you there? All right, so let's pick it up. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, are you the King of the Jews? Notice the line of the questioning. He begins with the fact that, are you a king? And then he said, the King of the Jews. All right, verse 34. It says, is that your own idea? Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied, your own people and the chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, everybody read with me because these words are important. Go, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is the truth? That Jesus is king and he rules over all. And Pontius Pilate didn't wait, because he was appointed by the Roman government. So to hear about another king is like treason. But Jesus was saying, you worry about Rome, but I'm the king of the entire world. So you remember when Jesus was crucified, what did Pontius Pilate write and put on top of him? He's like, king of the Jews. King of the Jews. His perspective was still minimal. Abraham was called by God, and in Genesis 14, Abraham was called a Hebrew, meaning an immigrant, a stranger. Later on, Abraham gives birth to a child called what? Isaac, right? So Isaac is also what? A Hebrew. Isaac gave birth to two children, Esau and Jacob. Esau is an Edomite, but Jacob was the father of the Israelites. The fourth child of Jacob is Judah. It is the descendants of Judah who are called the Jews. So it is only Jesus who is a Jew, an Israelite, and a Hebrew. There's a reason for it. Abraham is not a Jew. He's a Hebrew. That's it. Isaac is a Hebrew. He is not what? An Israelite. No, a Jew. Modern day people, listen very carefully. Read the scriptures. Why am I going through this? Because we are not going to talk about just the king of the Jews. Remember when the people were singing Hosanna, what did they say? The king of what? Israel. But actually, Jesus was going to answer Pontius Pilate and say, bro, my kingdom is not of this world. So if you are talking about kingdom, it's not Israel, it's not the Hebrews, it's not the Jews. That's why I said Pontius Pilate is crazy. You ask a question, you won't wait for the answer. Who does that? Amen. So Jesus himself says here that he is a king. Everybody say a king. So let's try and understand these concepts, because sometimes we read them and we don't want understand them. So going through John chapter 18, first of all, Jesus said he has a kingdom. Number two, his kingdom is not of this world. Number three, he agrees with Pilate's statement that he is a king. And finally, he said he was born a king. He was not made a king. Because whenever it comes to kingship, it must come by birth. Did you guys hear me? It must come by what? Birth. You remember that Jesus was having a conversation with Nicodemus. What did he say? Except a man is what? Born. Proper citizenship comes through birth, not naturalization process. Birth. Naturalization is an improvisation. The person born in a place becomes that. So Jesus set the parameters and said, if you can become part of the kingdom of God, then you must be born a second time, this time through the Holy what? Spirit. Are you guys with me? So Jesus said he has a kingdom, and presumably he's a king. So let's begin with the definition of a kingdom, because I want you to understand this. Now, I'm going to give you a lengthy definition, and I'll scale it down to everyday man's understanding. Is that okay? All right. A kingdom is the rule of a king over a territory that has been shaped by his personal will, goals, and intentions. So this territory now has a culture, values, morals, and a way of life that mirrors the king's wishes and his character for his people. Now, please listen to me. Whenever you say a kingdom, you slash the word into two. You have kingdom and dom, or domain. The domain of what? A king. The rule of a king. So whenever we say the kingdom of God, we are talking about God's rule or God's government or God's domain. Are you with me? Follow me. We'll get there. Because the people who sing Hosanna, save us now, we seem to have a new king who will help us with Rome. Jesus says, I'm a king, but I'm not here for Rome. I don't know what your expectations are for coming to Jesus. We will get to that place. So every king rules. Say, every king rules. The only way the king has a kingdom is because he is ruling a people. And whenever he rules a people, he wants the people to become like him. So he impacts them with his will, with his goals, with his aspirations. And then the people become a kingdom after their values, their culture, their way of life look just like the king. So when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he says, when you pray, say, thy kingdom come, your will be done. Until the will of God is done, his kingdom has not appeared yet. We are only just a bunch of people trying to have a ruler over us. Amen? So when a king is governing a place, and then the people who have chosen to be in it, or the people who have been chosen to be there, their lifestyle, their culture, their language, everything they are doing looks just like the king, then we have a kingdom, then we have a king. Are you with me? That's the layman's definition of that long thing. So, for a Christian to say that he is a Christian and lives in the kingdom of God, but your culture, your values, your songs, the things you do are that of the world, you are not in the kingdom, because the king has not influenced you yet. Are you with me? Now, every king rules over an area. He rules over a territory. Everybody say territory. So the kingdom of God is both present and future. We say it is future because when it relates to the territory called earth, God created this earth. One day, Jesus will return and set up his physical kingdom on earth. When that happens, we say the kingdom of God is in the future. Are you with me? But the territory also is your heart, the human heart. Everybody point there, your physical, this is the physical one. So when Jesus rules your heart and my heart, and so my behavior, my values, my culture, my language, my songs, Christians who sing all kinds of songs, ask yourself if your king sings that. Why are you quiet? Because if your king doesn't sing the song, then the kingdom has not come in the heart. Are you with me? In that sense, then the kingdom is not future, but it is what? Present. And this is why in the book of Matthew 12, verse 28, Jesus says, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, then the kingdom of what has come. When John the Baptist shows up on the scene, what does he say? Repent, for the kingdom of God has what? Wherever the king is, the kingdom is present. So if Jesus is present in your heart and he is actually ruling, and you can tell from your lifestyle that your way of life, your language, your everything looks just like him, then the kingdom has arrived in you. Are you guys with me? That is the meaning of all of that. So when we say that Jesus is a king and Jesus says, I have a kingdom, he is referring to you, he's referring to me, he's referring to all 8 billion of us on the face of the earth, that we will come to a place where we place ourselves under his government, under his rulership, under his leadership, that he is in charge. And then our lives are now beginning to look just like what? Him. Are you with me? Case in point. Now, for young people, you may not understand, but I am not too old, but I was raised in a country that used to be under Great Britain. The only thing that has changed that Great Britain brought to us is that now we drive on the right. But people still wear three-piece suit in 100 degrees, which is from the original kingdom. When you tell us to wear official shirt, you will never find nobody wear this. we will wear three-piece suit because that's what the kingdom taught us. Are you with me? That is the effect of the kingdom. It changes a people's language, their way of life. I speak English, but I was born a tree man because the kingdom is changing it. This is what needs to happen to you. If you say you are in the kingdom of God, then your language, your way of life, everything must be that of the king. If your language, your everything is different from that of the king, you are not in his kingdom. Is that a simple idea for you to understand? Now, the Bible is about the king who is God, his kingdom, and we, his royal kids. Anything else is religion. And I'm taking time to explain because today you hear a lot of people use the right words, yet we live like we are living in a democracy. In fact, in a kingdom, you don't vote. This is why voting in churches are wrong. If it's the kingdom of God, you can vote. But Pastor, the apostles voted in the book of Acts. Remember the person they chose, Jesus had to replace with Paul the apostle. Because that guy didn't do anything. We have to be careful what we are patterning our lives after. Amen. So let's take time and understand some things about kings and their kingdoms so that we will understand why Jesus is our king. Number one, you'll notice that a king is the very heart of his kingdom. He is the very heart of the kingdom. Let me put it in everyday terminology. He's the main man. Everything is about him. So a kingdom is an extension of the king himself. Without the king, there is no true kingdom. The land and its people may be there, but without the reigning king, they do not constitute a kingdom. This is the fundamental difference between a democracy and a kingdom. Everybody say democracy. What is it that makes America, America? Is it the president or something else? Let me see. Let's do civic lessons. Let's see. Somebody say the people. Somebody say. You must understand the system you live in. America is a republic. This is a democracy. It is governed by a president. Right? What you need to fully understand is that that's entirely different from a kingdom. Because in a democracy, the central thing is the constitution, not the leader. Why? Because the leader changes a few years, right? It doesn't matter who wants to govern for the rest of the years. After 4 years, you are gone in the United States. Right? So in a democracy, the central thing is not the leader, it is the constitution. In a kingdom, the central thing is the king, not the constitution. The king supersedes everything. So when you say Jesus is my king, yet your respect for a pastor supersedes Jesus, something is not right. You need to pay attention. I would love for you to respect me, but never put me above Jesus, because I don't want to be his enemy. God says it, my glory I share with what? No man. And that includes me and you. Amen. We need to pay attention to all of that. Second thing about a king is that a king is the supreme and sole source of authority in his kingdom. In other words, his word is law. When the king declares something, it is not subject to debate. And it is not up for discussion. So when Jesus says forgive, he writes it in the Bible. And you are sitting there trying to understand. That's democracy mindset. We need to come to a kingdom mindset, because when the king speaks, there is no debate. You simply obey. The problem we have is that most of us say Jesus is king, but we have a democracy mindset. We want to have a discussion. You don't talk to King Jesus. except to worship him. But Jesus is my friend. He's a king. So if you are a friend of a king, you don't talk anyhow. Your lifestyle is higher. Why? Because you are associated with a king. Those of you who say he's a friend, understand what kind of friend he is. You're a friend to a king. It means your standards are not simple. The one we hear all the time, I am a friend of God, is democracy mindset. So it means you can live anyhow, do anything anyhow. No. You are a friend of a king. And we see models in the Bible. When Jonathan was a friend to David, who was a king, Jonathan, though was close, did not mess around with David. He knew who he was. What did I tell you? Number three. A king's sovereignty comes from his royal power. Whenever we say sovereign, somebody is sovereign, it means that you can do anything he wants at any time and nobody can question him. People do not grant sovereignty. People grant sovereignty in a democracy because in a democracy, the people choose the leader. In a kingdom, it is the leader who chooses the people. I'll come to it. That is why Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. If you understand these concepts, scripture is not complex. It's a very simple thing. So any king must be born. I said, any king must be what? This is why the guy who is from Edomia, King Herod, when he heard that a new king has been born, you realize Herod was what? Because Herod was not born a king. He's from Edomia. Descendants of Edom. And he was appointed king from Rome. So now that there is a king who has been born, his position is threatened. His sovereignty comes from Rome. But Jesus' sovereignty does not come from Rome. You all remember that when Jesus taught, the Bible says, people will look at him and say, what manner of man is this? Because when he speaks, because he is not borrowing. As I stand here, my authority comes from him. But when Jesus opens the scripture up, he doesn't need nobody's explanations. The explanation is in him. And he pours it out. Are you guys with me? I want you to understand when we say these things, okay? Number four, a king chooses his citizens. Number five, a king owns everything and everyone in the territory. He owns what? Everything and everyone. Now, I don't have time on my hands, so let's do one more. A king's prosperity is measured by the status of his citizens. This is a very powerful point. This is why you don't need to worry about whether you get money or you don't, because your prosperity reflects on Jesus. And since he does not want to be seen as a lousy king, he will make sure that you are prosperous. It's not something you should be praying for. It is his responsibility. So what does it mean for us when we say Jesus is king? Now I think it will start making sense to you, right? So let's start with it. Jesus is the very heart of the kingdom of God. If you read the book of Colossians chapter 1 from verse 16 to 17, it says, for through him and by him and for him were all things what? It means everything is around him. He's the center of it. Romans 11:36 teaches us. Secondly, when Jesus say something, it is not subject to debate. Matthew 24:35, what does the Bible say? Heaven and earth will what? Pass away. But my word will never what? Pass away. Isaiah 40 verse 8. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of God endures forever. Now, everybody turn with me to the book of Psalms. This one, I want us to take our time and go through it. So when we say Jesus is king, he is central. He's central to everything. He's central to what? When we come to church and we are singing, musicians, we love you. You are wonderful, Pupu. You help us. But songs should never be about any of us. Did you hear what I just said? So when you worship and you hear people say, we have to sing this song, it will let us move our body. You missed it. Because in the kingdom, you and me, we don't matter. It's about the king. Sometimes when you choose songs, how do you know the song? Jesus will like it. See, if we understand these basic principles and apply them, we'll be careful the things we do. But we are still interposing democracy into theocracy. Are you in the book of Psalms? Look at verse 7 to 11. We are looking at the aspect that when Jesus says anything, it is not up for debate. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Please highlight, circle the word law. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony, the word testimony is the word statute, right? Anybody who did law understands what a law is, then what a statute is. I want you to pick those words up. Law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes. So circle law. Number two, circle one, statutes. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. Go to the next verse, verse 8. The precepts. So laws, statutes, and what? Precepts. I'm going to show you something. They are all legal terms. It is telling you that you are dealing with a king, whose word is law. Then he talks about the commands. Are you following me? I want you to understand these things. Don't just read them anyhow. So laws, statutes, precepts, and commands. Then let's go to the next verse. He says the fear of the Lord. And then he talks about decrees. Decrees. Everybody say decrees. Now, please follow me. Laws are a system of rules and regulations that controls an area or a territory that is created and enforced by the government. So when you come to the United States, there are laws. Am I right? When the laws are written, they become statutes. A statute is a written law. It's been written and put down. Okay? Then we go to the next one, which is what? Precepts. Precepts are part of the laws that are written down, which applies to the way you, an individual in that place, have to live. So precepts are about the way, the things that we need to know what to do, how to live, how to do this. When you drive on the road, this is the speed limit you must obey. And when you see something, you say something, precepts. So laws, statutes, and what? Precepts. Then from there we go to what? Commands. Commands are clearly defined aspects of the law that show you that from here to there, if you don't, this is what will happen to you. It gives us the basis for enforcement. Anybody who did law would understand the terms I'm using. Then you come to decrees. Decrees is when a judge sits down, takes the law, and then he uses it in a ruling. He decrees something and it becomes a precedent on which other laws are written. Are you with me? Are you confused? Okay. Now, why did I bring all of this in? Because we are saying that Jesus, who is king, whenever he speaks, you don't argue it. His word is final. His laws, his precepts, his commands, his decrees. Are you with me? Okay, now let's go to the next level. Where did I get to? So number one, Jesus is the very heart of the kingdom of God. Number two, Jesus says something and it is not subject to debate. Number three, Jesus is sovereign. Everybody say sovereign. You remember his conversation with Pontius Pilate in John chapter 18, verse 37. He says, for this purpose I was born. I was born a king. So my authority or my power does not flow from the people. We the people. This is why it's a dumb idea to put the Bible and the Constitution of the United States side by side. It's evil because in the Bible, it is Christ and him crucified. In the Constitution is we the people. How do you put we the people and Christ crucified together? People think it's nice. It's error.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8255. 1-800-273-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.